and to see God move in people's lives. So I thought when I heard he was in KL and doing the ministry there, I thought, man, I really want him to come and talk to you guys and for him to bring his heart to our youth ministry. So this is his first time here at The Edge, and I think you should do it properly. And I'd like you right now to make some noise and welcome Pastor Jonathan Nan. Come on.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jeremy. How many of you actually brag to other youth ministries and just say, my youth pastor is cooler than your youth pastor just because he's Ang Mo? Anybody do that? It's kind of like, do you have an Ang Mo pastor? You don't? Well, I do. You know, so it's really cool hanging out. You're okay today? Do you like the person that you're sitting next to? You don't like? I hear a huge no right there. You have permission to change seats if that will make you feel better. Hey, before I begin, can you just do something for me? Just find someone next to you. Find someone next to you and grab them by their hand. Like, so ladies, or rather gents, you know, if you are eyeing that girl next to you, now's your opportunity. Take it. Grab your hand really tight. Now I want you to look them square in the eye and say this, okay? You ready? Say this to them. My love for you is like diarrhea. I just cannot hold it in. Just say that to them. It's gross, but it is true. All right, we're going to have some fun tonight. There's actually lyrics on the floor here. So I thought your worship leaders are super anointed, but they're actually cheating. You know, they've got this cheat sheet right here. Is that why he looks... I'm sorry, worship leader, wherever you are. I'm being a bit naughty. But you know, this evening, I want to share with you just some thoughts from the Bible. I've titled my message, The Waiting Room, Living in a Space Called Almost. And I just want to set this up a little bit. I love the Bible, so I'll be referring to... Do you actually bring your Bible to church? Anybody? Who brought your Bible to church? Put it up in the air. Let's see all the saved people. The rest will kind of like pray for you. Oh, good Lord, we need some help tonight. We need some help. Not many Bibles here. So I tell the guys back in Narrow Street, you know, get off Facebook and get your face into the book, right? Because, you know, the Bible is the Word of God. There's treasure in there. So I want to talk a little bit about, I want to just do a throwback or just a revision on the Easter story. I know it's not Easter. We're approaching Christmas, but, you know, from Matthew 26, verse 31, to about Matthew chapter 28, don't worry, we're not going to read all that scripture in case somebody was freaking out. We're not going to read all of that, but I'm just going to do a little summary. So we all know, you know, the story of Jesus, the gospel of God, right? How, you know, he was arrested on Friday, you know, they detained him, he was taken away, and then he was crucified. And then when he was crucified on Friday, you know, he rose again on Sunday. That's why we have Easter Sunday. But today I want to get us thinking a little bit. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like for the disciples on a Saturday? Think about this for a moment. So they've been hanging out with Jesus. They've seen him doing great stuff, incredible things. You know, he's just like blowing people away with his great teaching and his miracles and all that. And they put his hope on him. They put a lot of trust into him. But imagine seeing their hero, their savior, taken away from them. And he promised all these great things. He promised all these wonderful things that he'll be doing. But now he was taken away. Now, you see, we have the Bible, so we have the advantage of actually flipping to the next chapter and see, oh, it's okay. He's coming back. He's the original Terminator, right? He'll be back. And he definitely came back. But imagine the disciples, when they were in that situation, they had lost all hope. They had no idea, you know, that he was going to, they were not certain whether he would come back. And, you know, a lot of times in our walk with Jesus, our journey with God, we do a lot of waiting. We do a lot of, we have promises. I'm sure many here in this room, God has promised you something. God has spoken to you about something. God has called you somewhere. God has given you certain promises. But what happens is life gets in the way. Life comes along, it happens, and we sometimes almost feel like, God, did I really hear you correctly? God, did you really say that you will get my family saved? God, did you really say that I was called to do these great things for you? God, did you really say all these things? And a lot of times we are living in this space, this waiting room, where we are just waiting for God to do the thing that he said that he would do. Any of you watch series? Yeah, any of you watch series? Like, I don't know, what do you watch? Like The Flash, Arrow's bad. Like, it's really bad. I want to boycott it. Anybody watch The Walking Dead? I know it's a bit violent, but you know, I'm sorry if I. Yeah, but I watch a series. You know, one of the how many of you have this struggle? Like, when you watch a series, like, if you are up to date, the annoying thing is you have to wait 1 week, which seems a really long time, to find out what happens next, right? But if you're watching a series that you kind of, like, picked up, you just binge watch it, like, season one all the way to season five in, like, one night, and then, you know, that kind of thing. Like, you know, we're not used to waiting. We're not used to just waiting for the next. We live in a, well, they used to call it the microwave generation, but now it's the internet generation, the broadband generation. Anybody in this room actually know what dial-up is? Anybody? You got a few people. Some of you are like, what's that? Well, it's what Moses used, right, in the olden days. But, you know, we live in an age where we want everything now, where it has to happen now. And if it does, it's kind of like you're loading, you know, if you're loading Facebook and, you know, on your phone, and it's really, really slow, you get mad at, is it Singtel? I don't know. You get mad at them and you go, ah, they cheat my money, right? And we're just not used to waiting. We're not used to taking it slow. But I've got good news and bad news, right? The bad news is God is really slow because he's old. Right? He's old. Like, he's you know, older than all of us here combined. But the good news is God always has a purpose for something. You know, while you are waiting, while you are just getting by, you could be waiting for an answered prayer. You could be waiting for direction from God. Or in fact, you could be just waiting to get school out of the way because you feel like school is such a confining place. It stifles me. You could be waiting for a lot of things. And you, the problem is sometimes we don't realize that God is wanting to do something in our waiting. That God has a purpose. So you see, what seems pointless and painful is actually purposeful and productive for God. You may think that you're not going anywhere, but while you are waiting, God is working in you. So today I just want to share some thoughts and some points on how do we wait? What do we do when we are waiting on God? So the first point I want to tell you is hold on to the word of God. Hold on to it. You know, in Matthew 26, verse 31 and 32, Jesus actually tells his disciples that, you know, I'm going to go away. I'm going to get crucified. This is not going to go down well for me. But guess what? I will be back. After I have risen, you will see me again. And this was the promise that he gave to the disciples. So if the disciples, And if you know the story, you know some of the disciples, they went into hiding. Peter actually denied Jesus when he was crucified. But if they held on to God's promise, you know, if God said it, I believe it, it should settle it. No questions asked. But a lot of times in our human nature, we're not perfect. In our human nature, we tend to forget. We tend to doubt. In fact, what we do is we allow our experience to dictate how we understand the Word of God. But I want to tell you, the Word of God should not be interpreted through our experiences, but our experiences should be understood through the filter of Scripture. We shouldn't put the Word of God here and a Word of God here and experiences here, but we should put the Word of God here and wait for experience to catch up. So while God may have spoken, God has already spoken magnificent things over your life. You know, this book here is not just a book, but it is not just a story or a novel, but it is a book full of promises. The whole book is full of God's faithfulness to His people. So God has a plan, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you this. You may not see it right now. You may not understand it, but God has a plan, and He's working through it. So what God spoke to you, hold on to it. What God is leading you to, or whatever He's doing in your life, hold on to it. Don't let the enemy steal that away from you. Don't let the enemy, in fact, you know what happens, or what oftentimes happens, is that when God does something great in our life, or when we get this amazing revelation, the first thing that will come our way is discouragement. The first thing that will come our way is, and sometimes discouragement even comes from the form of family and friends, where the devil will do whatever he can to make sure that you don't walk into the promises of God. Do you know the devil is not sitting back and thinking, oh, look at so-and-so, look at that person today, he's on fire for God, all power to him. No, the devil is scheming, and he is doing whatever he can to make sure that you would doubt God, that you would think that this is not worth it. He would do anything that he can to direct you, distract you away from the things of God, because the devil is a liar. And guess what liars do? They lie. You're so clever. I'm pretty sure you do well in school, right? He lies. Imagine if I lied to you. I won't come up to you and say, hey, bro, I'm going to lie to you right now. Like, this, what I'm going to say to you is literally a lie. You are so good looking. You're the best looking guy in this room. It is a lie. The devil wouldn't do that. He would do things to make you feel like, did God really say this? Is God really a good God? Is Christianity really worth it? Look at all the people out there. They're having fun, but me, I'm stuck here. So, you know, when the devil, and you know, sometimes what the devil does is he brings up our past. Oh, he doesn't have much ideas. He doesn't have that many ideas, right? But it is effective because a lot of people are paralyzed by what they did. Hey, you know what? God does not care where you have been. He just cares where you are going. What you have done in your past, if the devil brings up your past, you remind him of his future. I don't know whether you read the Bible, but the good news is I'm going to spoil the ending for you. At the end, we actually win. Did you know that? You know, at the end, I just spoiled the Bible for you. At the end, we win. So whatever the devil digs up from your past, whatever he brings up and accuses you, you can safely say that, you know what, you have nothing on me. All you have is accusations that will not stand because I am justified by Christ. So when you are waiting for a promise to come true, hold on to the Word of God. Make sure that is your anchor in your life. Not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your church, not even your church. Whatever it is the Word of God. So read your Bible. Hold on to the promise that God has spoken to you, and you will get by. The second point I want to tell you is realize there is purpose in pain, and there is weight in the weight. Weight in the weight. There is always purpose in pain with God. There's this quote by this author. I'm not sure whether you know him, But he says that life has many ways of testing a person's will, either by having nothing happen at all or by everything happening at once. A lot of times we feel overwhelmed, you know, like you got exams, you know, maybe you got family troubles, and you feel all these things are coming at you at once. But a lot of times the testing is when nothing is happening. When you feel like you're stuck in a place where nothing's going well for you, where you're not even, you feel like you're not growing in God, and you're stuck. And, you know, Jesus experienced this pain and this burden as well when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he actually prayed, "Father, if it's not possible, you know, to take this cup away from me, I will still drink it," meaning going to the cross, "I will still do it because I know you have a plan. God, I know you are doing something." And you know that waiting, and even the disciples waiting for a Messiah that is supposedly dead, that waiting can sometimes be really, really painful. And I know it hurts, and we had to put up with discouragement, and we have to be patient in waiting. You see, patience is not just the ability to wait, but to have a good attitude while we are waiting. That's the key. You know, we sang that song, we're waiting with worship, we're waiting with praise. What are you waiting with? Because a lot of times we're waiting and we're thinking, you know what, you see, God is not moved by frustration. He's moved by faith. You can get frustrated, you can get angry, but that won't impress God. You know what will impress God is that you have faith. There you go, "God, I trust you. God, I don't see the end of this, but I know you've got me. God, I know that you are doing something." You know, if you can't trace his hand, you just have to trust his heart. If you can't see where God is going, you just have to trust that he is bringing you somewhere, that he is doing something. You know, there is a big difference between just having faith and having faith and trust. You see, a lot of times we have faith in God. We say, "Yes, God can do this, God can do that, God can do all these amazing things." But a lot of times we don't really trust God. What do I mean by that? You know, when I was a kid, we used to have this thing called, we used to have a circus. Any of you been to a real circus? I'm not talking about the youth ministry. Like, "Oh, my cell members, they're like from the zoo. We live in a circus." Not that kind of thing, right? But a real circus. Anybody been to a real circus? Like, some of you are like, "What's a circus?" Go home and Google it, all right? But a circus is, you know, it's kind of like a place where there's entertainment. You watch like animals do like tricks, and then you watch like people, you know, doing stunts and all that kind of stuff. And imagine this, okay? Imagine in a circus, there is two large, maybe towers or something, and a thread is put across these two towers, right? A rope, a tight rope. So you know one of these acts in a circus is a guy would take a pole, right? And then he would balance. You all know what I'm talking about? He would balance and he'll walk across these two towers. You see, if I were to ask you, do you have faith this guy can go from tower A to tower B without falling flat and dying, right? You'd be like, "Well, if he's going to go up there and, you know, we paid money to see this, I don't think he would die, right? That won't be nice. I'm pretty sure he can make it." So you have faith that this guy can do it. But if I were to ask you, do you have trust in him? You know, it would be like saying, if you trust him, would you go up onto the tower with him? Allow him to piggyback, allow him to carry you via piggyback, and let him walk across this tightrope while balancing a pole and take the net away? How many of you know that's a game changer right there? You're like, let me think about that. And you know what? A lot of times we say, "God, I have faith. You know, you can do this, you can do that." You know, but we want the product, the produce, but do we trust God to take us through the process? Nothing in life comes easy or comes free. You know, if something was free, it just means someone else paid for it. Salvation is free, but guess who paid for it? Somebody paid for something that is free. And you know, we need to trust God that he will take us through that process. Do you know, friends, that God ruthlessly perfects those which he royally elects? He is always working in us and working through us. He wants us to grow from glory to glory and grow in maturity. And not just stay baby Christians, not just stay wimpy Christians. You know, a lot of times people say, John, I've been persecuted. I'm like, what happened? Oh, my friend, he unfollowed me on Instagram. It's persecution. And I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, we had a big fight. I don't know what God is doing in my life. He's so far away from me now. My friend just deleted me off Facebook. And I'm like, okay, let's have a conversation about this, right? Okay, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people from other Singapore churches, right? You guys are mature, right? I'm not talking about you. But, you know, we can't stay wimpy Christians. We got to mature in our faith. And one of the marks of a mature Christian is that you understand why there are hard times. You see, you understand why you have to go through certain things. You see, God wants to bless you. I won't deny that. But God wants you to grow as well. You know, scripture, you know, 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7, it talks about how our faith is more precious than gold. And it is being refined through the fire. You know how they harvest gold? How they process gold is that they will heat it up to a really high temperature and the gold will melt. And when it's melted, all the impurities at the bottom, it will come up to the top and they will scrape those impurities off and they will cool the gold to form it into a ring or jewelry. So when hard times happen to you, you will see certain things come out in your life. You will notice, why am I responding this way? Why am I reacting this way? Because God does not bring things up to condemn you, but to convict you. Because he's saying, hey son, hey daughter, you got these things in your life that I want you to work on. And in Hebrews 12, verse 7 to 11, it talks about how if our earthly fathers would discipline us, how much more will our heavenly father, you know, why if we accept discipline from our earthly father, why don't we accept discipline from our heavenly father? You see, pain is always there to grow you because you learn from painful experiences. You know, when you were a child, if your mom told you, don't put your hand on the stove, guess what? You most likely did not believe her until you actually touched the stove. And that is our human nature, that we grow a lot of times through experiences, through pain. And it's kind of like, you know, when I was younger, I actually joined this football, soccer. Do you call it football or soccer here? Football, right? You call it football? Soccer, you know, Manchester United. Any Chelsea fans? We'll pray for you afterwards. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's okay. Right? But you know, when I was younger, I joined this football club. Right? This football club. And when I joined this club, I had this expectation. I thought that, you know what, I'm going to join this football club. We're going to play football all day long. But I was wrong. In fact, what we did most of the time was training. And can I tell you, I hated training. You know what training consists of? They will put cones in a zigzag position and you run zigzag back and forth. And the other one that I really hated is one guy would stand on one end, another guy on the other end, and they would toss the ball at you, and all you do is just hit the ball back to the person. I think my IQ decreased by like 20%, you know, just doing that. And we had to run, and we had to do this. We had to run laps, okay? Oh, my goodness. I mean, I like exercising, but cardio is like, oh, my goodness. We had to run laps, And we weren't like the flashiest football club. So one day our coach organized a match with another club. So we went to the field and, you know, we saw the other team. And we didn't have our own uniform, right? All we had was like a common color. So everyone just wore red and white pants. So professional, right? But when we saw the other team, they had like matching uniforms, matching jerseys. In fact, they even had matching socks, and they looked super sleek, super cool. And I looked at them, and I was like, man, they are going to destroy us. They're going to demolish us in this match. They look the part. But our coach came over here, came over and you know, prep talk, and he was like, "Don't worry, guys. All they do is play football all day long, and they don't train." And when I heard that, I was like, "Excuse me." And he was like, "Yes, they don't train." And I'm like, "So they don't train and they play football all the time, and they are a football club." And my coach was like, "Yes." And I was like, "I have joined the wrong club. This club play football and it's a football club. Like when I go for sessions, right? 4 hours is always like 3.5 hours training, 1/2 hour rest, 1 hour match." So I'm like, I've wasted my time. But anyway, you know, the match started, and even though they look much cooler than us, much better than us, much sleeker than us, but we actually won that match by a huge margin. I think it was like 6-1 or something like that. Like, their defender, I remember, it was this tall dude, like 6'3" or something. The ball would be literally flying at him, and he would miss it. I have no idea how. It's a gift. Like, he would actually miss the ball even when the ball's coming right at him. And our striker was this really short dude. I can't remember his name, but I remember he was really short, but he was really fast. He was running laps around this big guy. So the illustration here I want to bring out to you, or the point here, is that a lot of times we are in stages of preparation, and it will prepare us for the big game. So you may not be where you want to be, but a lot of things that's happening in your life is preparation. It's God setting you up. It's God sowing into you. God train. You know, if we see big sporting events, the Olympics and the World Cup, we see the big matches. But what we don't see is the 4 years of preparation they go into. You see your pastor preaching up here. You see anointed worship leaders singing. And then you go like, "Man, they're so anointed." But what you don't see is the tears they cry before God. You don't see the disappointment they had to overcome. You don't see the rejection they had to face from their families. You don't see their constant faithfulness. You just see the product, but you don't know about the process. Friends, I want to tell you, don't despise the process. Don't reject what God is doing in your life. You see, you're in school, most of you, who's in school here? Like, you're still in high school and all that. You see, in school, you are taught a lesson, then given a test. But in life, you are given a test which teaches you a lesson. It is the opposite. Life is not like school. Life, when a test comes, the only way that you fail it is if you don't learn from it. It's life, every time you fail, every time you fall down, all you need to do is get back up again. That is what God is doing. God is not going to judge you for failing, but all you need to do is go, "I'm going to step up. I'm going to get back up again. I'm going to continue trusting God." And disappointment. You know, how many of you, you know, you like running? You do running, right? Going back to running. You know, when you run, you get those stitches. You know what I mean? Like those like aching feeling. And it shows that your body is growing. Your body's adapting. And you know what spiritual stitches are? Disappointments, heartbreaks, discouragement. And these things, you will grow. You will grow from that. Is that okay? Can I keep going? The third point is one of my favorite. I want to tell you, understand that you aren't buried, you are planted. You aren't buried, you are planted. You know, John chapter 12, I'm just going to go to it. If you have your Bibles, let's go to it really quickly. John chapter 12, verse 23 to 26. If you have your Bibles, just go to it. And you know, Jesus here says this. He says that, verse 24, "I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat or seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Here, you see, God is a God of seed and seasons. Do you know that God is a God of seed? What do I mean by that? When you pray for $1 million, do you know what God will give you? A job. When you pray for more faith, you know what God will give you? A challenging situation to have faith in. If you pray for more patience, oh, you're in trouble, because God is going to send you the most annoying person in the whole universe. Because God is a God of seed. He gives you a seed and it is up to you to steward it. You know, so when you come to faith, when you are in God, you are like a seed. But like seeds, you plant them. And a lot of times when you plant something, it feels like it's finished. It's gone. It's over. But God hasn't had you buried. He has you planted. What is the difference? When you bury something, you end it. You know, we only bury the dead. We bury the dead. You finish it. It's gone. But when you plant something, you protect it. Because seeds, if you're not planted, the wind will blow it. The birds will come and pick at it. And when you are buried, you contain it, right? Whatever that is finished, you contain it. You don't want it to grow anymore. But when you plant something, it is so that it would multiply. It's so that it will grow. So you see, all the things, the tough things that you're going through in your life, it may feel like it hurts. It may feel like a part of you is dying all the time. But while you are in the dirt, you are growing roots. You're growing roots, and these roots will anchor you in life. And eventually, you know what happens to this seed? It rises up from the dirt. It rises up, and it grows taller than any other plants. It grows taller, and it grows stronger. So just like that, my friends, you will grow, and you will come out of it. You will rise up all those who doubted you. You will rise up above those who spoke against you. You will rise up above the lies of the enemy. You can rise up above your situation. All you have to do is stay planted, stay faithful, trust God that He who began a good work in you will see it to completion. And you know, Romans 8:17, I like this scripture because it says that if we share in His sufferings, we will also share in His glory. Because if God had to go through, you know, anything in life that we have to go through, it's not as bad as compared to what Christ had to go through. You know, any of you actually died on the cross? Anybody? If you are, you know, pray for them. I don't know, call the EMTs or something. But, you know, Jesus went through literally hell. And if He did that and He overcame it, so can you. So you can overcome certain things. Understand that you are planted and not buried. Point number four. We're almost done. Honor Jesus while waiting. I said to you before that patience is not just waiting, but it's the ability to have a good attitude while we are waiting. And in Luke 23, a different account of the same story, we see that after Jesus was crucified, and then Mary Magdalene, she went to actually get the body of Jesus, and they gave Him a proper burial, right? They gave Him a proper burial. And if you think about it, they could have just said, what is the point? Why should we honor someone who's dead? He's already gone. Let him stay, God. We give up on Him. And friends, I want to tell you that we have to be just like this person, just like them, that we honor Jesus while we are waiting. That, you know how we honor Him? We come in worship. We worship Him with all our hearts. We don't worship God just based on our mood. We choose to worship Him. We choose to praise Him. Do you know that praise and worship is a choice, not a feeling? It is a choice that where we can choose to go, come and say, God, no matter what, I will praise You. God, no matter what, I will worship You. And you know what worship does? worship is, Dr. Jack Hayford, this guy, he said this, God gave worship so that we might become partners to his highest purposes. You know what worship does? It's worship gives you a higher perspective. It gives you, it makes you connect with God. And when you connect with God, you know, when you listen, encounter, there will be an exchange. And God will give you the strength to continue waiting. When I go to Australia, especially Sydney, because the airport is really, really close to the city. And when the plane is landing or when the plane is taking off, how many of you have been on planes before? Have you ever looked out the window and marveled at how tiny cars and houses look from the sky? You know what I'm talking about? And it kind of looks almost comical, like how the little cars are like moving and you know, you just kind of go, oh, that's so cute. And you see like little people like walking. It's kind of like The Sims, but real life. And the only way to do this is while we are on higher ground, while we are taking off. And that's what worship does, that we partner with God, and God begins to give us that divine wisdom, that divine perseverance, that divine discernment to go, that there is something better. Worship is all about God, but from that encounter, God begins to exchange and do something in our lives. You know, God, friends, I want to tell you, God has to be God of your desert place if he is to be God of your promised land. If you can't worship him in the desert, guess what? You will not worship him in the promised land. If you can't worship him through tough times, you know what? You will forget him in good times. How do I know this? It's human nature. Have you ever opened a newspaper and saw someone and read about someone who won the lottery? Say they won like 20 million Sing dollars. And then they go and they interview the guy, and the guy goes, well, because I have won this $20 million out of nowhere, I therefore now conclude that there must be a creator in the universe who's looking out for me, and he loves me, and I want to give him the rest of my life to serve him. Have you ever heard of anything like that? No, because that is not how human beings work. We are so quick to forget the goodness of God. I even think of the story of Israel wandering in the desert. They nag and they complain to Moses. They go, Moses, why did you take us out of here? In Egypt, we had suyok, we had char siu, we had bacon, we had all this good stuff. And now we are here eating manna, this stale bread. But they forget that they were slaves in Egypt. Oh, don't forget the goodness of God. You may not be where you want to be, but you have to thank God that you are not where you used to be. That he did something in your life and he's continuing to bring you from next level to next level. So honor God. Worship him. You know, I can tell a person how spiritual or how strong a person is spiritually by how he prays and how he worships. You know, if you cannot get into worshiping God, I want to say to you, just like, you know, the worship leader was encouraging, what are things that are getting in the way? What are things that are stopping you from worshiping God? Because let me tell you, at the end of the day, if you don't like worship, you're not going to like heaven. Let me tell you this, if you don't like praise and worship, you're not going to like heaven. In fact, you'll probably get a culture shock when you get to heaven, because people will be worshiping all day long and you'll be like, when are we getting on with the program? And they'll be like, this is the program, right? And you'll be like, oh man, you know, worship God. Learn to love him. Lastly, and I'm going to get, is that okay? Can we get a band to just come up here and just put some filler in? I want to tell you that God can be slow, but he is always on time. God has his own timing, but his timing is perfect. You know, you think about it, when they saw Jesus crucified, taken away, and they had to wait one day, wait one day for him to come back, but he did come back, and his timing was perfect. I even think of the story, I think it's John chapter 10, if I'm not mistaken, or 11, where it talks about Lazarus, how, you know, Mary was worked up because Lazarus, her brother, was dead, and Jesus took his time. When he got there, Lazarus was already in the tomb, but he still rose him from the dead. Friends, I want to tell you that God's timing, one of my least favorite scriptures in the Bible is this verse in Peter, where it says that, you know, a day is like 1,000 years for the Lord, and 1,000 years like a day. Time means nothing for God. So we just have to trust Him. I want to tell you that God's delay is not His denial. That you may be waiting on God for whatever it is. I don't know what you're believing for in this place. I don't know what you are waiting on. It could be something that is, you could be on the verge of your breakthrough, or you could be having to wait much longer. I don't know. But I want to tell you to let go and let God take over. You know, in my life, I have been through tough times. I've been through periods of where I wanted to quit. And sometimes quitting is not just leaving church and not doing, and just leaving church and going into the world. Sometimes quitting could just be turning up to church, but your heart isn't here. Or just doing the religious thing, but your heart is not committed to God because you're fed up, you're jaded. I want to remind you, friends, that God is working in your life. You may see that it is pointless. You may see that it's not going anywhere, even school. Can I tell you, school can be sometimes the most frustrating place on planet Earth, but God is preparing you. God is preparing you to step into what He has for your life. I want to pray for you this evening. Can we just all stand to our feet? Is that okay? You know, you could be, I just want to give everyone some privacy. So like, you know, if you have to go, you can go. But if you've ever been out of time, I just want you to stick around a little bit and not be anxious or not be in a hurry for the program to be over. But I want you to take this time to really connect with God. You know, in this place, can we just do this? Can we just all have our heads bowed and eyes closed? Just giving everyone privacy and just giving everyone the space to connect with God. I have no distractions. So don't worry about what your friend is doing next to you or what the person behind you is doing. Don't worry about that. But really just focus on God right now. And I know in this place that God has spoken certain things to different people. I know that in this place God has spoken to you about your family. But right now it seems like your family are so far away from God that it seems impossible for it to come true. Or maybe God has put a dream, or maybe a desire to even go overseas to study or something, but you are bound by your circumstances, finances, you know, all these things. Whatever that you are waiting on, whatever that you are believing for, I want to believe that in this place that God sent me here to tell you that He's working it out, that He's on His way. That you don't have to worry, you don't have to fight, you don't have to strive. All you have to do is just surrender to God and go, God, I trust in you. God, you have a better plan. God, your ways are not my ways. I want to tell you this last thing before I get you to respond. That surrendering is not giving up, but it is giving in to God. It is saying, God, I surrender myself. I give in to your ways and I trust your plan more than my own human logic and my own human understanding. So if that's you in this place, I just want you, if you are waiting for something, if you are waiting on God for something, I want to pray for you that God will speak to you, that God will give you clarity, God will give you vision, and God will give you assurance. So if that is you, I just want you to raise your hands up to God, or maybe just put it in front of you, whatever that you're comfortable with. that you just connect with God in this place. Yes, Lord. Lord, you see. You see these hands. You see these people. God, I thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. God, I thank you that you, God, you have the entire blueprint in your hands. You know where we are going. You know better than we do. So, Lord, I pray that this evening, all of us here will have a sense of, God, we trust you. We trust you. We surrender to you. We give in to your ways, to your greater plan. Father, I pray for breakthroughs to happen amongst these people. Lord, I pray for even the wisdom and perseverance to wait on you. Because your word says, they who wait on you shall have their faith in you and rise up just like an eagle and rise up above it all. So Lord, I pray that you speak to various different people in this place. You speak to them. You bring comfort to hearts. You assure people that you have it under control, that their life is in your hands. And in your hands is the safest place that they can be. So just spend the next couple of moments surrendering to God, and then we're going to close with worship. I want you to intentionally actually surrender and pray and wait and say, God, I trust you. I decide and I resolve in my heart today that I will trust you. I won't kill myself trying to work it out. I won't stress myself out trying to get it sorted, but I will trust you. So Lord, thank you for these people. You know each and every one of them, your sons and your daughters. I thank you for the promise that you've given them, and I pray and declare in Jesus' name that these promises will take root and they will come into reality for these people's lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All my hands have made, I'm laying down. Ooh, all that I hold in my many crowns, I've tasted and seen of your.
We're going to pray tonight. and just begin to respond to what God's been speaking. And this is what I felt like. If you feel like you're in that point, you're waiting for God to show up, maybe you've been frustrated. It could have been a season of discouragement, or it could be some promises you're waiting for God to break through in, or you might just feel like you're kind of in the in-between. And I want to encourage you tonight. In just a moment, we're going to worship again. I want to invite you to come out of your seat and come to the front and make a visible decision. God, I want to step into your presence in this season. I want to make this season a time where I connect with you. And this is what I felt in my heart. You know what the Bible says? That those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And tonight, I think, you know, the fact of the matter is you're going to have to make a shift in your heart that, you know, I'm not just waiting for something to happen. I'm waiting on God. There's a difference. If you're just waiting in your life with no point, nothing's going to happen from that. But when you choose to wait on God, Lord, I'm waiting for you to speak. I'm waiting for you to move. I'm waiting for you to strengthen me. I'm waiting for you to break through inside of my life. That is the point that supernatural strength begins to come into your life. Maybe you're waiting for another season in your calling. You're waiting for certain prayers to be answered. Well, look, I'm not just sitting here waiting randomly. God, I want to wait on you. And it could have been a long time you've been waiting randomly, but tonight we're going to make a decision that as a generation, we begin to wait on the Lord. Are you with me tonight? So if that's you and you feel like, you know what, I need this tonight, I'm responding to God, I want you to come out of your seat and make that decision. God, I'm coming right close to your presence. I'm coming in an atmosphere of worship to wait upon you. As we sing and begin to worship right now, come on, you move out of your seat tonight, and we're just going to begin to give our hearts to Jesus right here. Thank you, Jesus.
I want the request above all things.
On every hour.
Ooh, every hour I wait, be near me. So I taste it.
Even as you come on, just begin to lift your hands to the Lord. God's presence is in this place right now.
Show me your glory.
Spirit
fall. Oh, Spirit fall. Open up heaven's door. We are waiting with worship for more. You're the only one that satisfies me. Oh, we run to you, God, Lord.
One more time, my constant request.
Ooh, my constant request above all things.
Every hour.
Oh, every hour I wake, be near me.
Jesus, come and draw near tonight. Show me your glory.
Show me your glory.
Show me your glory, Jesus.
Show me your glory.
Show me your glory.
Show me your glory.
Come on, let a cry begin to rise from your heart tonight. Oh, Jesus.
Show me your glory. Show me your glory.
Everything you got, show me your glory.
Show me your glory.
come, just begin to worship Him tonight. Whatever you're going through, begin to lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Yeah, we worship you. Just begin to pray in the Spirit for a moment tonight. The moment you wait on the Lord, you begin to renew strength. The Bible says as you pray in the Spirit, you strengthen, you edify yourself. Don't get wearied out by waiting. There's a strength in waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come right now. Come on, just a little moment longer. We're going to pray tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And come on, hands lifted high to heaven. God's in this place right now. I want you to begin to wait on Him right now. Come on, begin to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit tonight. God's presence is in this place. God's presence is in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, some of you, He wants to fill you with strength tonight. God, we're not just waiting. We're waiting on You. We came to meet with You. If you're here tonight and you feel like God's given you a calling and a purpose, but it just feels like it's so far away, you feel like you're just waiting indefinitely for that thing to be fulfilled, I really feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and wants to touch your life tonight. And if that's you, would you just lift your hand? You're up here because of something about a calling, a purpose for your life. Come on, if that's you, lift your hand high because I want to pray for you tonight. Guys, we're getting feedback in the monitor, so. Okay, if that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, it's my calling, it's my purpose, but it feels like so far. And the word God gave me for you is this, that you are not abandoned. You are not abandoned. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't neglected you. He hasn't left you out. He hasn't, like, in the big scheme of things, given you a calling and purpose and then chosen to go another way, but He remembers you. Jeremiah says it this way, I know the thoughts I think about you, says the Lord. He's already determined how He'll think about you, and His thoughts are about your purpose and about your destiny. Then when God thinks about you, He didn't forget your destiny. He's thinking about your destiny. Come on, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray for everyone, God, waiting, God, in the midst of their calling, in the midst of their purpose. Father, we pray that You would come and begin to visit them. Lord, let there be a visitation of Your presence tonight, right now, in the name of Jesus. God, a visitation of Your presence in Jesus' name. Father, would You begin to speak into their hearts, begin to confirm
God, your call and your purpose for their life. Begin to confirm your purposes. God, your promises for them. God, begin to confirm right now, Jesus, the things that you have destined for them. God, I pray that you would come and speak so clearly into their hearts and their minds. God, begin to remove every cloudedness. Begin to remove every distraction. Begin to remove right now the voice and the lies of the enemy. Lord, we declare the word of the Lord. God, that your purpose never fails. That your word always accomplishes what you sent it to accomplish. Oh, Father, tonight we pray, let your presence begin to come and break through for every single one tonight. Father, we lift up our hearts to you. We lift up our hands to you. You're the one that we're waiting for. You're the one that we're looking toward. Oh, God, we just welcome you in this place tonight. We thank you for your presence is stirring inside of our hearts, God. Lord, we're thankful tonight that you are a faithful God, that you never fail. God, and even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. So God, I pray tonight, but let faith begin to rise in every one of our hearts to hang on to your word, to hold on to your presence. God, to make a decision to be people that wait on you. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive it tonight, I want you to give Jesus a clap and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Come on, we're going to just sing it one more time tonight. Just begin to lift your hands and tell him, Lord, Spirit fall, we call on your name tonight, Lord.
Even at this time, there's this group of you here with us. You know, you could be returning from last week. You could be here for the very first time. You know, everything that we talk about, you might be thinking like, you know, what are you talking about? What do you mean by, you know, going through tough time and just, you know, believing that God is going to be more than enough for us? You know, you might be thinking like, who likes tough time? You know, even after all that we've heard today, I'm telling you, you know, every single one of us, you know, we go through difficult times in life. You know, but the one thing that begins to set us apart is that we know that we have a God that we can count on. You know, that he is faithful. He will never let us go. You know, and so young person, if you're here and you haven't received Jesus into your heart, I want to let you know that when you go through tough times, you don't have to go through it on your own. But there is God who loves you. Come on, he's done everything to get to where you are. And all you have to do today is to just begin to say, God, I give my heart to you and I want to trust you. I want to be able to hold on to you even through those difficult times. If you are here, I want to give you an opportunity even today to begin to respond to Jesus. All you have to do is just begin to say, yes, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart. I want to know that I can count on you even through difficult times. Alright, so right now, every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. You know, at this moment, I'm going to give you this opportunity to respond. And all you have to do is that when I begin to count to three, you're going to slip up your hands from wherever you are. You know, we'll see you and we're going to pray with you. You know, that today you'll make that decision to say, Jesus, I want you with my life. You know, I want to have you to hold on to in every situation, not just the tough times, but even the good times. Come on, Jesus, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's one of the best decisions that you can ever make in your life. So come on, young person, when I count to three, if that's what you want, just begin to lift up your hands all across this place. Come on, with no hesitation. One. Come on, if that's what you want, begin to lift your hands. Two. And three, come on, is there anyone in this room you want to begin to give your heart to Jesus? That's right, I see you right there. Come on, is there anyone else in this place? You want to begin to say, I want to hold on to Jesus. Come on, if you're here and you want to give your heart back to Jesus, come on, begin to make that decision tonight. Come on, that's right, I see you there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, one of the best decisions that you can make. You know, what I'm going to do right now, you know, I'm just going to get all of us begin to take a couple of steps back. You know, we want to begin to make room, even for those that want to respond tonight. You know, if you have raised your hands today and you are saying that, yes, I want to invite Jesus into my heart, will you just begin to calm down together with the person that brought you? You know, I want to have the privilege to begin to pray with you. Come on, can we begin to give it up to them? Come on, one of the best decisions that you can ever make. Come on, is there anyone else in this room? You want to begin to make this decision? You want to give your heart to Jesus? Come on, through every situation, He's with you. He is for you. He's not against you. Come on, is there anyone else? You know you should have put up your hands, but you didn't. Now it's not too late to respond. All right. You know, this is really one of the best decisions that you can make. You know, no matter what situation, I mean, everything that we're talking about, why is it that, you know, we can say that, oh, hey, through every difficult time, we can continue to hope, we can continue to trust that we are in the hands of God? It's because God loves us so much. You know, and this is really the first step that you're taking, to know this God who loves you, who will never let go of you, no matter the situation. Come on, someone else coming. Wow.